In this episode, we hear from Jo. Jo works as a Senko in a mainstream primary school, and she talks about her role as a Senko, the challenges around funding, and how we can make schools more inclusive. The role of a Senko, what is it?
Okay, so in a mainstream school, it is to coordinate the provision and the care for all the children on your special educational needs and disabilities register. So that means that you have to think about what their education looks like for them. You have to really consider their needs and how you are meeting them. You have to liaise with external agencies, with parents, with families, obviously. It's the most varied role that you will ever do. Some days it is the most rewarding, the most amazing role, and other days it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So it just really varies on the situation, on the day, on the families and the children that you have in your school, really.
Something I was going to touch on later, but because you just mentioned, you mentioned about parents and obviously, you know, having to communicate with them a lot. How have you found it in this moment, Jo? Because obviously it's a difficult time. How have you been communicating with families to make sure, you know, that they're as well as they can be?
So we are calling them very, very regularly. And when we call, we are making sure that we speak to the child as well. So that, and that's all of our children, not just our children with special educational needs and disabilities. If the children are more vulnerable or if they have a higher degree of need and need more calls, then they have those as well. We're also they've got all their online learning and things like that. But if they need anything additional, we are either leave that in the school foyer for them to come and get, or we drop it round, or whatever we need to do to make sure that those children are happy, safe, and if they can, engaging in a little bit of learning at home as well. So, yeah. But it's lovely. The calls are lovely. It's been that the teachers have absolutely loved this bit about the lockdown. So when we go back to school on the 1st of June, some teachers will now be teaching, so they won't be able to call their classes. And that's the one thing that they're really upset about. Mm-hmm. They have absolutely loved checking in with their children. We've also got a really good package that we use called Purple Mash, and on there the children can email us anytime and the teachers can email individual children or the whole class, so there's that communication as well.
Brilliant.
Which has been really good. So we've had loads of contact, and if we don't, we go and knock on the door and check they're okay.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know it's all about, you know, being creative and finding different ways to communicate, which is great that you've done that. So for you, Jo, why did you become a Senko?
Oh, I've got a long history.
That's fine.
So I went to a secondary school in Chelmsford. That school was next door to a special school at the time called Woodlands. And our school had really good links with them. So when we were in the sixth form, we could go over and do some, just support in that school. And I started off doing that. We then used to have, they used to call them special needs holidays, where the pupils from my school used to look after the children with special needs for a whole week. And they used to sleep at the school. We used to take them out to Alton Towers and places like that. So that's where my interest really came in. And then a very quick career path. I did a psychology degree. I became a teacher. I then went on to become an assistant educational psychologist in Essex. I then became an educational psychologist in Essex, then an educational psychologist in Hertfordshire. And then when I had my children, I needed to put down a base and be back in a school and not travelling around the county. So I ended up as a Senko. So,
Oh, brilliant. I knew some of that through kind of chatting with you before. And obviously you've been involved with the multi-school stuff, but some of that I didn't realise as well. So it's a very interesting journey, Jo.
It is.
Yeah, massively. So because I just mentioned the multi-schools, I'll go to that bit next. Why has your school got involved with the Multi Schools Council, and what are the benefits, do you think, for getting involved?
Okay, well, I think originally we've probably been involved about a year and a half, 2 years now. Mm. And I think that I first heard about it through a Senko update, a local education authority Senko update, and thought that sounds amazing. And actually at the time, I was very, it was something I was trying to push in my school pupil voice. And I was very aware that we probably weren't that great at it actually. Mm. And that we were making decisions about children without including them too much in their decisions. So I just thought, oh, this will be a really good opportunity. And I had backing of my head teacher and backing of our pastoral care manager, who also wanted to get involved. So what we did is we chose a mini multi-schools council within our school. So we've got two children from every year group that represent us and come to the meetings. And it's the same children. And I was going to change it every year, but I cannot walk through our school ever without one of those children saying to me, when's the next meeting? When's the next meeting? So I haven't had the heart to change our representatives yet to make them somebody else. Yeah. But they, the children that we chose, they were either children that really had special needs themselves and were very good at talking about their special needs or just needed a little bit of a boost in terms of their confidence. Yeah. Or they were children that we'd identified in our school that were amazing with the children with needs. So they were all chosen for a really particular reason. And they, in our school, it has just been amazing. I mean, you know, we've had the head boy and head girl, yes, who they worked so hard to get that role. Yeah. They have just gone from, they have grown wings, those two little children. It's just been the best experience. And all of our school can see the benefits. It's not just me that goes to the meetings. It's all of our teachers, the parents. And they do assemblies all the time for the rest of the school. So it's become a whole school project, not just about the eight children that represent us at the council. So it's brilliant. Just been fantastic. And it's made us think about every child and every child's voice and how do we, those two children are off the forefront, but how do we spread out that confidence to all of our children with special needs and make them feel $1 million, which they are. So
yeah, of course. Yeah. And I mean, obviously I'm really pleased when any school joins in, but I'm even more so that you did when you did, because as you mentioned, we've had two brilliant young people, Kim and Jonathan, who've got involved, and they've now become ambassadors as well because of their hard work, which is fantastic. So I'm really pleased that you are involved. So we spoke about some of the positives there, obviously, in getting involved. But thinking back to your Senko role now, Jo, what are some of the biggest challenges? Because I know just from my perspective, when I speak to some Senkos, they do mention sometimes about, you know, can sometimes be the dynamics of a school or sometimes the pressures of Ofsted. Yeah. For you, Jo, what are the biggest challenges of your role?
Okay, well, I actually think I'm in a really lucky position because I'm in a, I started as a Senko about 7 years ago, and my head had been a Senko and she was just amazing. So I've never had a problem from the school perspective. Brilliant. We've now got a new head that has also been a Senko that is also amazing. So brilliant. I've never had a kind of battle to fight for my children in my school at all. But the frustrations are, my main frustration is funding. So, you know, we at the moment, we've got probably 45 children on our special needs register, plus six children with education, health and care plans. We usually have about 12, so we're less this year for the first time. But that doesn't represent our need at all. That kind of represents the fact that it's so much harder to get those plans for children and the criteria that they need to meet to get those plans, which leaves us with no, so you support the children, but we haven't really got the funding to do it in the way that we would want to do it to fully meet the needs of the children. And that's the heartbreaking thing. And you spend a lot of time putting in paperwork, writing paperwork, perfecting your paperwork to try and represent these children as much as you can. But that's the heartbreaking part of the job when it comes back and you still can't support them in the way that you know would be best for the children. And most of the time you can meet a child's needs through quality first teaching, through the resources we've got in the classroom, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes to be fully included in our school, they do need to have additional support and additional hours and some LSA time or some teacher time. and we don't have spare people around to help us to do that.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, so you've got that kind of issue. So our classes are often with 32 children and a teacher, and that is it. We don't always have LSAs in our classes, and you've got high level needs, plus all of the kind of more common needs, dyslexia, things like that, that still needs a lot of input and additional teaching. And so you've got all that, but then you've got the Ofsted pressures as well. So we still have to keep one eye on, are they making progress? How much progress? Are they going to be above age-related, at age-related, and which we should do, but it's an additional pressure for the teachers that are trying to, you know, organize the learning to fit everybody.
Yeah.
That's the hardest. It's the hardest part, really. And it's not getting any better. So,
well, that was kind of what I was going to lead on to, Joe. You've obviously got a lot of experience. You've worked in education a long time. Has, in your opinion, over time, has that got better or has it got worse?
No, it's got so much worse. And I know it's funding, and it's not the local education authority fault. It's not. And they have to have a fair and a robust system. Absolutely, they do. And their budgets are stretched as well. But, I mean, I've been through lots of changes in education, and I suppose they're... I was working as an educational psychologist in the late 90s, when they were shutting special schools and saying that all children should be included in mainstream. And luckily, we've turned a corner with that, and parents do have options again, and children have options again.
Yeah.
But yes, the places are few and far between. And I do believe that lots and lots of children could stay very successfully and be included fully in a mainstream school if mainstreams had more resources to manage their needs efficiently. Because there's nothing worse than watching a child in a mainstream school who becomes more socially isolated, more academically isolated, and you draw the conclusion that they're not included. They're here, but they're not included, and that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a really detailed answer, Joe. Thank you. I think that paints a really clear picture of where we are currently at. So the last kind of thing I wanted to touch on is, obviously, being a SENCO yourself, you'll be aware that Essex have redesigned their SEND team, and they are looking to try and make schools more inclusive.
Yes.
So your final words, Joe, how do we do that from your perspective? How do we, you know, make schools more inclusive so that more children that you work with and other SENCOs do can reach their potential?
Yeah, I think, I mean, some of the changes that have been made for the local authority, SENCO clusters working together, sharing experience, all of those kind of things, it's really going to help, because there's nothing more demoralising as a SENCO to realise that you've got an issue in your school that you're really struggling with, that somebody else is dealing with fine down the road, like, that's not good. I want to be able to do that in my school. So sharing experience is brilliant.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have lost a lot of specialists with this restructure, and they were amazing, that, you know, and they did used to come in and help you just with an individual child when you're like, you know, I've told you about my experience. I've got a lot of SEN experience, but even I sometimes just feel stuck, and you just need somebody to come and go, look, it's okay. Here's your pathway. Here's your way forward. But I think that we never give up. We never, ever give up. And I'm in a cluster of about 20 SENCOs, and at the heart of all of our conversations is the best for the children. I know I've spoken to you about funding and things, but it's a frustration, but it's never a barrier to, we won't give it a go, and we won't, you know, we want the best for this child. And all of our conversations about keeping getting the children included and learning and happy and safe and, you know, secure. So we won't give up. And resources will go down, but we'll still be going. And working with the parents is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think that parents feel that we're blocking them because we're saying we haven't got the resources for this and that. But it's a two-way relationship, and you have to be open and honest with your parents, and the parents have to be open and honest with you. And you know, our most successful children are the children where our parents are our part of our team.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you know, we all work as a complete unit, and that helps inclusion and helps children to, you know, be successful.
Definitely. That's why I'm pleased as well from my own perspective that, you know, Essex are supporting the Essex Family Forum and making sure parents are included in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, it's really, really important.
Definitely.
Important. So, yeah.
Well, Thank you, Joe. You've given a really good kind of insight there into the Senko role, and you spoke about lots of different issues, and you spoke with such passion as well. And for me, I know you anyway from the, you know, experience of multi-schools, but I always judge, you know, on how we work by what the young people tell us. And if you listen, and I know you have been, to Kim's podcast, she points you out as being one of the real reasons that she's able to express herself. So, well done. Well done for everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you. And you. And
thank you. Thank you. Well, take care and keep safe.
Thank you. Cheers. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
These episodes are supported by the brilliant Active Essex, who sought out some funding for us to continue these episodes. If you'd like to advertise on any of our shows, please get in touch with me by emailing mschoolscouncil@gmail.com.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.